Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
This morning, we are dealing with something that is very important, and I want you to please join me on this journey. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. Come on, I said hallelujah. All right. Very quickly, if you don't mind, just one scripture and then we're going to get into the message proper. Psalm chapter 8 verse 4. Psalm 8 verse 4. I want it on the screen. Psalm 8, verse 4. Are you there? Psalm 8, verse 4. Everybody to go. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou does what? I can't hear you. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1. That was a scripture I was looking for. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 4:1, not 1 Peter. All right. Everybody now to go. I thought we were supposed to be standing for the reading of the word. What happened to you this morning? All right, now everybody to go. Let a man so account of himself, of the ministers of Christ, and of the stewards of the mysteries of God. Let's take it again. One, two, go. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Bless your word, Heavenly Father, this morning. Speak to our hearts and change our lives forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Say louder, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please sit down like the king that you are. Today I'm going to be speaking on what I've titled Secrets That Power Life. See after me, secrets that power life. Another word for secrets is mysteries. Everybody say mysteries. I can't hear you say mysteries. And the reason why I've read 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 that says, let a man so account of himself as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God is because of the topic that we're dealing with this morning. Somebody say once again, mysteries. The word mystery simply means spiritual secrets that you don't understand or you don't know. In other words, they are secrets. And so this morning I'm dealing with secrets that power life. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to begin this morning by letting you know that if you see any man, ladies and gentlemen, who is a great man, who is doing very well, who is extraordinarily successful, is not by accident. Anybody hearing me? Greatness is in life is not by luck, it's not by accident, it's not magic. And greatness in life is always an intentional journey. It's a deliberate journey. Is anybody hearing me? And I have come to realize there are two things that are always responsible. If you see anybody who is doing very, very well in life, number one, the first thing that powers him is natural effort. Everybody say natural effort. I can't hear you say natural effort. The second one is called supernatural sponsorship. So there is, first of all, the human effort. By the way God created man, man can do a lot. Man can accomplish a lot. The power of the human brain can do a lot of things without God. And the word without God is also a subjective word because even in the fact that the person is not conscious that God is at work doesn't mean God is not there. Please, is anybody hearing me? Talk to me, is anybody hearing me? But what I mean without God is without a conscious effort of God. But beyond the natural impute of the man or effort of the man, the second thing that makes any man significant, any man successful in this life is supernatural sponsorship or supernatural powering. Are you hearing me, somebody? Please answer me. Are you hearing me, somebody? Now, when you go to the life of Job, the Bible said to us that Satan went to Job and said, oh, it was God actually that began to boast about Job to Satan. So have you looked at my servant Job? He's a great man, he's wealthy, he's the wealthiest man in the whole of the East, he's doing great, blah, 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 and so on. And God, Satan asked God a question. Satan said, God, stop all that boasting about Job. Let me read the scripture for you. Job chapter 1, verse 8. Job 1, 8. Now let's go straight to verse 9 for time's sake. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made an edge around him, around his house, around all his businesses, and everything around him on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased. See what Satan is saying? That the man's substance is increasing, his business is prospering, and so on. God is not an accident. You are the one who has powered him. You are the one who is sponsoring him. Job did not just make it as the richest man in the East. You are powering him. You are sponsoring him. There's a hand nobody is seeing behind Job that is making Job to be great. See, God, Satan was saying, and listen, if Satan was lying, God would have said, I rebuke you, Satan. But God did not object because what Satan was saying was true. God had indeed powered Job that Job did not mistakenly become the wealthiest man in the East at the time, except that behind him, there was a sponsorship. I want to pray for someone under the sound of my voice. Listen, in this life, you will so succeed by the sponsorship of God in the name of Jesus. You will so make it, ladies and gentlemen, you will be a wonder to behold in your generation in the name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go on, you will discover that generally in life, especially in the olden days, and of course until now, but back in the olden days, ladies and gentlemen, you will discover that people, especially kings and leaders, used to submit to priests and prophets for one major reason. Why, Pastor? Why do you know that every priest has marabouts around them? Sorry, every king has what they call spiritual advisors. They have what they call magicians around them. They have what they call soothsayers around them. Those who are of God have prophets around them. Why are leaders, men who occupy sensitive offices, why do they always surround themselves with priests and with prophets? For only one reason. Why? Because priests and prophets connect them to the mysteries of God. That's why the scripture we read says that you will approve yourself as ministers of God and stewards of the mysteries. Ministers of God and also ministers of Satan and stewards of mysteries. They carry mysteries. There are secrets that are not known to ordinary human beings. There are stuff that people take for granted. They have access. They have revelation. They have understanding. Listen to this. I used to have an uncle back in the day when commissioners were commissioners. Now, commissioners are very poor people. Are you still there? No, it's not their fault. It's just the way Nigeria has become. Back in the day, an average commissioner was as rich as a governor. Is that true? Please talk to me. Is that true? If they say your uncle is a commissioner, you know you are made for life back in the day. I used to have an uncle back in the day in River State who was a commissioner. And that guy served four governors during the military regime. He was so good. The money that guy pays, because I had the privilege, his wife is my auntie, so I had the privilege of always being in his house. And I will never forget that back in the day, the guy, I hear his list of prophets and prophetesses. And I'm talking about these false prophets. I'm not talking about serious-minded people. I'm talking about these juju people that have prayer houses. And I'm not kidding you. I saw it physically. The guy has a long list of them. This one will come offer sacrifices. The other one will come do candle. The other one will come spray water. The other one will come. They were always around him. Why was he so careful about surrounding himself with those people? There's an access to mysteries those people have to be able to connect this king or this leader to them so they can remain on the throne. Because every king was afraid for his life. There was somebody who wants to poison him, who wants to kill him, who wants to kill him and take over his throne from him. So these guys have to constantly surround themselves with these people. Are you still with me, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still with me? I can't hear you. Are you still with me? Ladies and gentlemen, take a look at a man called Uzzah. Everybody say Uzzah. And I wish I have time. Say Uzzah now. Uzzah was, the Bible said to us concerning the king Uzzah, 2 Chronicles 26, there's no time. 16 years old was when Uzzah began to reign as a king. He reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. The mother's name was Jecoliah and all that. But go straight to verse 5 for time's sake. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. You can exchange that word visions for mysteries of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now listen, here was a king called Uzziah. Sorry, Uzziah, not Uzziah, please. Somebody say Uzziah. Uzziah was a king. He didn't have access to the mysteries of God. He wanted to find out, how do I preserve this, my throne? But thankfully, the Bible said during the time of his reign that he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was his pastor or his prophet. And the Bible says Uzziah himself didn't have access to the mysteries. But Zechariah, the Bible says, had understanding of the visions of God. So the guy said, you know what? I don't need to understand. I have a pastor, I have a king or a prophet who understand the mysteries of God. The Bible says he began to seek God, not through the pastor, through Zechariah, who had the revelation, who had the understanding of the mysteries. But this is the good part. The Bible says, as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered. I pray for someone this morning again. As long as you continue to seek God's mysteries, practice them, walk in wisdom and obedience, this year, I declare you will prosper in all you do in the name of Jesus. I said you will prosper in all you do in the name of Jesus. Can you shout a better amen if you don't mind? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, quickly for time's sake, there are six mysteries that power or that sponsor life. And this morning in the first service, I will share the first three. In the second service, I will share the second three. Six mysteries that sponsor life or that power lives. Okay? Successful lives. Great men, great women. The first one is called visitation. Second one is altars. The third one is blessing. The fourth one is purpose. The fifth one is covenant. And the final one is power. Everybody say power. My God, say power. All right. So let me begin with the first one, ladies and gentlemen. Let's begin with the first one. I want to speak on visitation. Everybody say visitation. Let me tell you one reason why you are missing a lot if you are not joining in the prayer and fasting that is going on. One of the essence of fasting is for you to have encounters of visitation. When you go through scripture and you go through men who have actually made it in life, you will discover that there are always a season in their life where one visitation changed everything. See, fasting is not really about not eating food. There are people who are fasting, they are not eating food, but 24 hours they are on TikTok, on Instagram, and on Facebook. Let me say this to you, you are not fasting. You hear what I said? You may have starved yourself from morning till 6 o'clock, maybe even till 9 o'clock at night, but I want to say to you, you did not fast. Fasting is not absence of food. Fasting is taking food away so you can have time to spend with him, to have encounters with him. Fasting is being able to remove television, take away the other one, remove social media, take away anything that is a distraction. Why are you taking it away? So you can focus. The taking away is one aspect. The removing distraction is one aspect. But the goal is so that you can focus. Why? Because in the course of a fasting, one thing you can't miss is a visitation. Which is why, again, I'm pleading with somebody, show up this week, Wednesday to Sunday. It's not just going to be another program. The goal of the program is that we have encounters and visitation. Take a look at the life of the man called Moses. Everybody say Moses. I can't hear you say Moses. There was a gentleman who grew up with his own mother, but inside the palace. So very, very early in life, he already knew that, listen, I'm not an Egyptian, I'm an Israelite, and my people are suffering. Whatever it is, if it's just only one thing I do in this life, I will destroy the Egyptians. And then he thought that the way to actually save Egypt was to be killing them one by one. You know the rest of the story. So he started killing one by one until the people that he was killing for called him and said, who made you a prince and a judge over us? He took off. Are you still with me, somebody? He now knew that his case was known and he was a wanted man. He ran away. But listen to this. Running away would have been the end of his assignment or destiny. But the Bible told us 40 years he was in the wilderness with his father-in-law Jethro. And in the course of that period, God was teaching him many things. Patience, humility, blah, 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 leadership, and so on. Organizational leadership and all that. But even all that would not have changed anything. Meanwhile, back in Egypt, the Israelites were crying. Oh, God, save us. Oh, God, deliver us. Oh, God, help us. Now, everybody listen. Here is Moses, the man that will deliver them. Here is Egypt, Israel, under bondage, and they were crying. The Bible says their crying and sighing came to God. How did God raise a leader among them? Moses was taking the flock one day, as usual, to go and feed. And then there was a visitation. The Bible says it was a burning bush. Now, assuming, ladies and gentlemen, Moses was too busy feeding the flock that he did not turn aside to find out what was going on. Moses recognized that this is not an ordinary bush. This is a visitation. In turning aside, the voice of God rang out, and immediately, ladies and gentlemen, this is something a dream he has carried from childhood. I want to be a deliverer. I want to save Israel. I want to deliver my people. I want God to use me. God will never use him until the day of the visitation. And many of you here who have callings, giftings, graces, you know, your mother has told you everywhere you go, people say there's something about you. There's something you carry. Listen to this. You can carry that thing and take it to the grave and nothing will happen. God will not be removed from his throne. You will never see one single manifestation. This is the reason why in seasons like this, see, I'm begging you, keep Facebook, keep Instagram, keep TV, keep television, keep TikTok, leave everything and say to yourself, it's the last week of this fasting. I can't go without an encounter. Something must shift. I must encounter a burning bush. I must turn aside. My destiny must turn aside. Guys, from that moment, the man who ran away from Egypt, the man who was afraid to be arrested, the man who was scared of Pharaoh, returned back with fire. He walked back to the same palace he was running away from after one encounter and said, I came on behalf of the God of Israel. Let my people go. The same man that was running before. His case file was still in state CID. Or DSS, they call it right now. His state file was still there. But now he had had an encounter. Everything had changed. He wasn't returning back as the guy that was afraid. He was coming back as the one that has gotten a visitation. I pray for you this morning in the name that is above every name. This year, you will have an encounter in the name of Jesus. I said you will have a visitation in the name of Jesus. My God, I said you will have a visitation in the name of Jesus. Can you say a better amen, somebody?
Amen.
Take a look at a 75-year-old man called Abraham. At 75, he was poor. 75, he was literally not married. Or married with no child. At 75, he had no house of his own. He was living in his father's house. So if you look at a 75-year man own, if you're looking for who to invest in and who to give a future, who to do business with, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how spiritual you are, you will not do with a 75-year-old man. Am I correct, somebody? But guess what? Here was Abraham still in the house of his father, no child. Poor, no future, no nothing. And then the Bible says one day in Genesis chapter 12, the Lord appeared to him. The Lord visited him. And the Lord said, you know what? I want to do business with you. I'll make you great. I will do this. I will do that. If only you will serve me. Ladies and gentlemen, that 75-year-old man, by one divine encounter that he took seriously, his life turned around. Not only did that man, ladies and gentlemen, give birth to Isaac, but that guy became the father to everyone that believes in Jesus today because of one encounter in his life. That encounter gave him a child. That encounter gave him a name. That encounter turned him to become the father of all nations, to become the blessing, the one that carries the blessing of the patriarch to all who believe in God. God entered business with him because of one encounter and one visitation. I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but I'm praying for you that one encounter, one visitation in the course of prayer, in the course of fasting, will change your destiny forever in the name of Jesus. I said will change your destiny forever in the name of Jesus. I cannot hear your amen, somebody.
Yeah.
I can't hear your amen, somebody.
Yeah.
One encounter. One encounter. One encounter changed him forever. Are you still with me, somebody? Talk to him. Are you still with me, somebody? Ladies and gentlemen, take a look at the man called Jacob. How many of you are aware that when Abraham gave birth to Isaac. God actually said specifically to Abraham, he said, in Isaac shall your name be called. In other words, Isaac was supposed to be the one that was to carry the blessing of Abraham. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Read your Bible very well. Exactly what happened at the point where the lady called Tamar gave birth to Zara and Phares happened to Isaac and Jacob. Pastor, what happened? Let me take you back to Phares and Zara. Am I correct? All right. So here was Tamar. She had twin. They were pregnant. She was pregnant. And then at the point of delivery, the scripture said to us, the first child brought out his hand. They tied a purple thread around the hand. And they said, this came out first. But then you will notice that not long after it came back, the hand went back into the stomach. And the drama that happened was very simple. The younger brother was inside the stomach watching the elder brother. He has allowed him to be elder brother to go out first. But now the elder brother brought his hand and was doing like this. So the elder brother is wondering, okay, what's going on here? Because 9 months, two of us have been in the same class. And in the 9 months, they told us that the way a child come out is through his head. So I don't understand this one that you're doing your hand like this. You're doing your hand like this. You're doing your hand like this. So the brother said, okay, I've given you the chance to be firstborn. If you're not willing to be firstborn, nature abhors vacuum. He held his two leg. Guess what he did? He dragged him down and put his own head. That's why they call him Phares, breakthrough. Breakthrough means look for any opening and put your head inside. Are you in church? That's what breakthrough means. Look for any opening. Create an opening. Find a way and push yourself through. Because life will not give you what you deserve. It will only give you what you demand. Anybody in church? Talk to me. Am I boring you this morning? So what happened in the case of Isaac and in the case of this? See, in Isaac, because Isaac was the promised seed. Am I right? Please answer me. Am I right? After Abraham and Sarah had looked for child for a long time, finally Isaac was born. And God was clear, in Isaac shall your name be. In other words, Isaac will be the one to carry your name. But how many of you know that the nation of Abraham that came out of Abraham was not called Isaac? What happened? Isaac said, okay, you know what? I have the blessing. There's no problem. He relaxed. But then he gave birth to his son called, what's his name? Jacob. Now, the Bible said to us, this Jacob went through a very difficult life. Jacob realized that, you know what? I don't have much. My own brother Esau is a skilled man. He's a gifted man. He goes out, he does hunting and so on. I don't have much. The Bible actually said in describing Jacob, he said he was a, how did he put him now? There's a way to describe Jacob. But the last part of that description says he dwells in tents. In other words, he stays at home. He's not an outgoing person. He's not somebody who is very, you know, pursue business and all that. So he sits back there at home, quiet guy, sitting next to his mother, wondering, how will I ever make it in this life? How will I break through in this life? Ladies and gentlemen, in his quietness, he began to think about how he's going to take over the family inheritance. So first of all, the Bible said he stole the blessing of his brother. Am I correct? First of all, he stole his birthright. Then, the Bible now told us that having stolen the birthright, he ran away. But then as he ran away, he got to the house of Laban. Inside the house of Laban, the guy was scheming. And at some point, he became richer than his own employer. Jacob had always been a desperate person to make it. But then the peak of his desperation that changed things was when he was, after a period of serving Laban, he was coming back home. The Bible now told us that on his way back home, that one night he was told that his elder brother was coming to kill him. So that night he sent away his entire family. And he was now alone in a place called Luz or Bethel. The Bible says in that place, Jacob encountered God and there was a wrestling match. And Jacob said, if you don't bless me, I'm not going anywhere. I've stolen the birthright. I've also gotten the blessing, but my life is not changing. I can't continue like this. Something must shift for me. Ladies and gentlemen, in that battle, the angel said, did they break? Allow me to go. He said, unless you bless me, you are not going anywhere. Are you aware that the Bible said to us that after that battle, the angel said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He said, from now on, your name is no longer Jacob, but Israel. So that man called Jacob
had no business inheriting the family name. He had no business being the one to advance the family destiny. How did he get it? He got it by one encounter that changed him forever. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Am I making sense to somebody? The way you're looking at me is like I'm talking over your head. But I pray for you. In this week, you will have an encounter. 2026, you will have an encounter. I said you will have an encounter. You will carry the family name. You will be the one that will shine in the family. Everybody in that family will rise because of you. You will be the one that will sponsor others abroad, pay their school fees, build the family house, give the family a great name. This morning, is there any matan around town? Why is the amen so low this morning? I pray for someone under the sound of my voice. You will have a visitation in the name of Jesus. I said you will have a visitation in the name of Jesus. That visitation will change your life forever in the name of Jesus. Take a look at Samuel. Even though Samuel was inside the temple, guys, Samuel was serving the high priest. Are you aware that Samuel, the Bible said, did not know the Lord until there was an encounter? One day, a voice broke out. Samuel, 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 Samuel. He ran to Eli and said, "Sir, you are calling me." Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and listen again." He came again the second time. "Sir, you are calling me." "No." Eli said, "No. There's a visitation coming to you, young man. I know you don't know the Lord. You don't know much about God. But the next time you hear that voice, open your mouth and say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant hear it.' This year, you will hear that voice in the name of Jesus. You will hear that voice in the name of Jesus. You will hear that voice in the name of Jesus. Take a look at Isaiah. This guy has prophesied for many, many years. It was what you call a national prophet. But are you aware until Isaiah chapter 6, where the Bible says in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. Until that time, guys, he was prophesying, he was a preacher, he was a national prophet, but he hasn't seen the Lord. It was in that visitation. He said, "God, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. My life is not really good. I thought I was a good guy preaching for you, prophesying to people. I didn't know my life was full of uncleanness. And there's no way you can use me to do what you want to use me for." But in the course of that visitation, the Bible says a tongue of fire came upon his lips. God cleansed him and said, "Now you can enter into ministry proper." I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning. In the course of this visitation, every impurity will go. Every defilement will go. Anything standing between you and God will give way in the name of Jesus. God's hand will come upon you mightily. The fire of God will come upon your tongue. You will begin to prophesy at a level you've never seen before. You will begin to speak at a level you've never seen before. Your prayer language will change. Your revelation will change. Everything around you will change forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Pastor, what attracts visitation? Very simple. The first thing that attracts visitation is deep hunger for destiny relevance. Say after me, deep hunger for destiny relevance. Say deep hunger for destiny relevance. Unless you bless me, I will never go. If you don't have that kind of hunger, a visitation is not near. Number two, willingness to reach out to higher powers. The willingness to say, "You know what? God, I've looked at myself. I know my background. I also know my capabilities. And I know by my own hand, I can't help myself. If I'm going to make it in 2026, if I'm going to accomplish my dreams, if my visions will come to pass, if the things God has promised me will see the light of day, I need a power that is higher than mine." Number three, how do I encounter a visitation? By openness and sensitivity to spiritual realities. Openness and sensitivity to spiritual reality. I want to beg you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, please avoid anything. See, one thing you must convince yourself and agree with yourself. Are you still with me, somebody? Not everybody is coming to church to serve God like you. Be conscious of people whose assignment is just to distract you. There are girls who are in church this morning, they just need a guy. They didn't come to worship God. They didn't come to look for God. There are men who came to church, they hear that there are fine girls in House on the Rock, so they just came to collect one. There are others who came for a business connection. Some just came for a job. Others are believing God that if they come to House on the Rock, they'll be connected to somebody who helped them, and so on. Please, there are different agendas surrounding you. You make up your mind, anything and anybody that will be a sin trigger, that will hinder me, that will stand between me and my God, I'm going to avoid them. Walk away from them. Is anybody hearing me? I can't hear you. Is anybody hearing me? You must be sensitive to spiritual realities. Be sensitive to spiritual realities. Are you still there, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still there, somebody? Okay. The second thing I want to talk to you about is altars. Somebody say altars. My God, I have 5 minutes to go. Let's see how far I can go. Somebody say again, say altars.
What are altars, Pastor? Altars are spiritual power stations. Say power stations. Say power stations. Now listen to this. The greatest exchange of human destinies are done on altars. The greatest exchange of human destinies are done on altars. Altars, again, are spiritual power stations. Altars are like generators. When there is no NEPA, when you confront or you get into altars, they bring power that was not in existence. Are you with me, somebody? Talk to me. Are you with me, somebody? So here was Solomon, ladies and gentlemen. Here was Solomon on the day he was dedicating both his house of God and his own house. The Bible says by law, it was required to present before God a cow. Solomon went to the altar of God and he presented one cow. He presented 10 cows. By the time the priest was watching, he had presented 1,000 cows for a burnt sacrifice. Is anybody hearing me? Now, Solomon presented, the priest was even saying the blood is too much. He said, listen, you don't understand. First of all, I had no chance in a million elections to become even the local government chairman in Israel. Take a look at my background. My mother committed adultery with my father. It was the worst scandal that hit Israel. We don't even have the temerity to even contest an election. And then, before you know what's happening, my father was killed in the course of that scandal. My mother's husband was killed in the course of the scandal. So you can't choose, even if you are stupid, you can't choose somebody like me. But take a look at me. I am now the king of Israel. I can't give God one sacrifice or one cow. He gave him 1,000. The Bible says after pouring on that sacrifice, that night God said, Solomon, place a prayer request. And Solomon said, I don't have anyone. I did what I did out of gratitude. I just wanted to be lavish on the altar of God. I owe my life. I owe my position. I owe my destiny to that altar. That altar made a man who was not qualified to be qualified. I will forever lavish on that altar. God said, no. No matter what you say, you have offered too much on the altar. You deserve something more than this. Ask a request from me. And Solomon said, if you insist, well, give me wisdom. And so God said to him, because you didn't ask for the life of your enemy, you didn't ask for riches, so I will give you the wisdom, give you the life of your enemy, give you also riches. That's why on record, all through Solomon's regime, there was no war. There was rest round about. Solomon went through absolute peace simply because of one altar that is sacrificed on. And let me say this to you. We are starting 2026. It's the beginning of the year. And let me tell you what your colleagues out there in the world do, which many of you don't know. At that beginning of the year, there are many people who have gone before different altars. Some have sacrificed cows. Some have sacrificed chicken. Some have sacrificed human beings. Some have done all kinds of sacrifice. That thing we ask you to do on 31st night for some of you is a ritual. That's okay. That's fine. But guess what, ladies and gentlemen? As the year begins to unfold, remember I began by saying, no man makes it significantly without, number one, human effort, and number two, spiritual empowerment, or what we call sponsorship. So guess what? These guys have done sacrifices. Now you come to church. This is your house of God. I begin my year by first of all sending, the first altar that powers me is my pastor. So first of all, I send there. Then I return back to church and then I service the altar here. I do that intentionally because I know this is the beginning of the year. This is what lays the foundation for the rest of the year. I have seen Christians who are so spiritually ignorant that the sacrifice they bring before God can't even buy one chicken. One chicken. Some of them even give the 2,000 or 1,000 reluctantly, not knowing that what we are doing is not just a ritual. It is actually raising an altar that speaks for the rest of your life. Is anybody hearing me? Talk to me. Is anybody hearing me? At the beginning of the year, raise an altar unto God. Find something to make a sacrifice. It's not because church needs your money. It's because you need God's hand and God's sponsorship on your life as you journey through the new year. Is anybody hearing me? And listen, you don't have to do it all. By the way, I'm not taking an offering. I'm just sharing with you realities, which we call mysteries that sponsor life. That a year is beginning. Sit down with yourself. Look at what is your vision for the year and say to yourself, on behalf of me and my family, we raise this altar. On behalf of me, you know, something strange happened to me. Something strange happened to me in January after I finished raising my altar in church. So I was in Port Harcourt to preach in a big pastor's conference of over 5,000 pastors. And in that meeting, I called for a seed. I said, I want everybody, every pastor here. I said, raise an altar for your ministry. I began the call with a million naira. I said, join me because already I've already made my pledge for a million naira. Now listen to this. This is very interesting. I raised that seed with, I didn't think I have 100,000 naira in my account. True story. I did not have 100,000 naira in my account, but I made the call. And when I was done, I returned back to my hotel room. The next day, I wanted to just send somebody 10,000 or something. I look at my account, there was 1 million naira allowed that entered the night before. So I quickly went, I look at the name of the person. I don't know the name of the person. I don't have the person on my contact. I said, okay, let me look who this person is. I said to myself, this person must be from House on the Rock, Abuja, because I was living in Port Harcourt to go and preach in Abuja. So I Googled the person's name on Facebook. I saw the person, and I said, she must be a member of the church there. I opened the name, I went through the person's Facebook page. She's not a member of House on the Rock, Abuja. As I speak to you, I haven't found the person. I haven't met her. I don't know her. I don't have a contact. I still haven't met her as I speak to you. But the 1 million naira entered my account. Of course, I wired it immediately and redeemed my 1 million naira pledge. I was believing God for $7,800 to pay one of my children's school fees. Guess what? In about 3 days' time, that money entered my account. I paid the school fees. Oga, you can be jealous of me. You are free to be jealous of me. I have no problem with it. But if I obeyed and God blessed me and you are jealous of me, your problem is yours, not mine. I didn't have 1 million naira. I'm talking about mysteries that sponsor life. Beginning of the year, my assignment is raising altars. Raising altars. Raising altars. I raised in church. I raised in Port Harcourt. I started with my pastor, first of all. I raised. Because that's how we start the year. That's why when I was in America and they said travel ban, everybody said, don't go, you won't come back. I said, if I don't come back, is this heaven? Is America heaven? If I don't come back, I don't come back. Simple. Worst case scenario, I tell my family to come back. Will they die for Nigeria? Please talk to me, somebody. Everybody said, don't try it. You're not sure. You may not be able to come back again. I said, So is America heaven? I said, listen, I know how we start our year. That's what guarantees that the year is successful. One of the things we do is to come back and be raising altars. God forbid that because of one nonsense thing called America, I will not stay back. And then I won't be in church, crossover service. I won't be in church because I'm afraid of what? Or people kidnapping presidents. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I'm in Nigeria. And America is not heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
My life is moving forward. My ministry is moving forward. What am I trying to say to you? Oga, I can't explain how $7,800 is in less than 1 week ago entered my hand. After that, I have raised my altar before God. I paid the school fees. I don't know how it came, but I just know that, Pastor, you have been a blessing. Pastor, you are a blessing. Pastor, you are a blessing. 1, 2, 3, 4, the money completed. Don't try to calculate it in naira. You will be dizzy. Are you in church, somebody? Please explain to me, are you in church? Somebody is already very angry. All right. Are you still there, somebody?
Yes,
my God, are you still there, somebody?
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, the beauty of altars is that altars will keep fighting battles for you that you have even forgotten about. How many of you are aware of that? when an altar is raised, and that's why some of the ones raised by your father in Amadio are still fighting you to tomorrow, making sure you don't get married and so on. But guess what? In the same way, there is an altar you are raising today and say, Lord, this is for my children. This is for my son in the hostel. I don't know what happens in that hostel. I don't know what's going on in that place. But Lord, on behalf of Okechu. On behalf of Okechukwu, I'm raising this altar. Tomorrow, there's a fight, there's a riot in the school your child is attending. And then cult boys are fighting and they are freely shooting around. Your son, Okechukwu, is in the middle of that fire. Guess what? What is speaking for him at that time is not the Jesus is shouting. It's the altar that has been raised by his father for him in January 2026. Is anybody hearing me? Okay, this is how the saints win in life, by obeying spiritual realities. And I'm now saying to you, please, sir, altars is another major mystery that sponsors life. My time is already gone. Should I leave the next one for the next service? Should I just mention the last one? Should I mention the last one? Number three is called the blessing. Everybody say the blessing. Shout aloud, say the blessing. For the last time, say the blessing. Okay, the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and he added no sorrow. Is that true? Pastor, but I thought that all of us are already blessed as children of God. Absolutely true. But let me give you the scripture that says you are blessed. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord our God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places by Christ Jesus. Is that true? Yeah. That blessing is in the heavenly place. You have a responsibility of downloading the blessing. Yeah. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Yeah. Talk to me, somebody. Is anybody hearing me this morning? Yeah. Now, let me share with you the difference between the blessing and miracles. Miracles, please, everybody listen. Are you still with me? Talk to me. Are you still with me?
Yes,
for the last time, are you still with me?
Yes,
now, listen. Miracles are based on mercy or covenant. That's why you don't even need to exercise faith to get some miracles. A pastor can just pray for you, be healed, and you'll be healed. But blessings are tied to obedience. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Blessings are always tied to obedience. Obedience. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Are you there, somebody? Remeneko sobreneko siata. I just mentioned this and I'll be out of your face. I'll just make this fast. So, when God created man, God blessed him. And then Ephesians told us he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But ladies and gentlemen, please understand this. Listen. A miracle is I was prayed for and I got healed. A blessing is that I don't even fall sick at all. Sickness doesn't even come to me. It's something that is permanent. What's a miracle? A miracle is the fact that I prayed for God to give me money to pay my house rent. And somehow the money showed up. What's a blessing? A blessing is that God gives me a system to be able to generate that money every time I need it without even I need to pray for it. Is anybody hearing me? A blessing is something that comes, is permanent, is there with you. Is there with you. It stays with you. A miracle comes in once in a while. Did you hear what I said, somebody? Talk to me. Did you hear what I said, somebody? So, ladies and gentlemen, of course, I've shared this before, how that when the ark of God got into the house of Aminadab, are you still there, somebody? Got into the house of, is it Aminadab, the priest? Is it the priest? Is it Aminadab? The priest? Oh, not Obed-Edom. The first place he got to. The priest called, is it Aminadab, right? It's Aminadab. The ark of covenant got there for 10 years. There was no evidence that anything happened. Not even his chicken had twin. So now, they took the ark. David had sent for the ark. And they decided to take it to the city of David. On their way, something went wrong. And Uzzah died. When Uzzah died, fear now caught David and said, you know what? We're not taking this thing again to my house because I don't want to die. Where do we now take it to? The Philistines have sent it to us. Now it is killing us. Where do we take it to? They now said there's a man from a Gittite man, a black man. His name is called Obed-Edom. If anybody will die, let a black man die. So they took the ark and put in the house of that gentleman. Ladies and gentlemen, scripture recorded in, I wish I can read that scripture. The Bible says, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom. What happened? In 3 months, there was testimony upon testimony upon testimony. The same thing that was killing people was now churning out blessings upon his life, upon the life of Obed-Edom. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something called the blessing. And this is how the Bible describes how the blessing works. It said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it added no sorrow with it. Listen to this. In 2026, I want to prophesy over somebody. You will not need for somebody to be praying for you to be healed of sickness. By the power of the blessing, you will walk in divine health in the name of Jesus. You will walk in divine health in the name of Jesus. You will walk in divine health in the name of Jesus. Listen to this. The power of the blessing is so much that back in the day, when you say a man of God carries the blessing, everybody wants to touch his hand, shake his hand. This generation has no regard for the blessing any longer. But this is also how the blessing works. Here was Jesus walking around, and a woman with the issue of blood said, if only I can touch him. But this woman that was saying, if only I can touch him, has forgotten that there were people that were pushing Jesus in the crowd. People that were falling on him, and no miracle was happening. But the value she placed on him was, I don't even need his hand. I don't need his laying of hands. I only need to touch the hem of his garment. Guess what? That level of connection activated the blessing, and she was permanently healed. What am I saying? If you do not place value on the blessing doesn't work for you. If you do not regard the blessing, if you don't treasure the blessing, it doesn't work for you. But this year it will work for you in the name of Jesus. I said it will work for you in the name of Jesus. So Pastor, how does the blessing come? How does the blessing come? Again, I say the blessing comes by the instrumentality of obedience. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this to you as I close this morning. Please, are you still there, somebody? Talk to me. Are you still there? For the last time, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Now listen. Listen. You know, every time I think about that gentleman called Daniel, Daniel was relevant in government for 70 years, serving Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, Cyrus. Everybody look up here. You see, Daniel was an ordinary Jew who had actually gone as a captive to Babylon, where he stayed. And then because of his intelligence in being able to pass some exams, he was admitted into the court of God. But when Daniel entered into that place, everybody listen to me. Are you aware there was a particular day that the king had a dream, and the king said, if you guys don't interpret this dream, everybody's dead. The Bible said Daniel requested for 3 days. Am I right? And in those 3 days, how was Daniel so confident that in 3 days a visitation will come upon his life? Let me tell you why I'm sharing this with you as I close. I'm sharing this with you because in 2026, I want to beg you. See, give yourself one Saturday where you lock yourself in your room and said, I will not leave this room until 7 p.m. this evening. God, you must speak about my husband. You must do something about my marriage. You must do something about my ministry. God, something must happen to me. This is that year where you want to take yourself. Please, Lord, in the next 3 days, my phone will not go through. I'm not on social media. I am with you. Something must happen to my life. Listen, that visitation that came on Daniel did not only make him to interpret the dream. I hope you are aware that it was because of that encounter that led to that interpretation. When the people in the palace, beginning from the king, saw the hand of God upon him, that's how they kept recommending him for the next king, for the next king. Pastor, what are you saying? Do your business differently this year. Do your business in a way that when management meeting is taking place and they are asking for ideas, you are saying, Oga, give me 3 days, I'll be back. Is anybody hearing me? Oga, give me 1 day, I'll be back. Oh God, just give me a few days, I'll be back. By the time you come back, you are saying to your boss, this year we're not investing in this. This year, let's do like this. Oh God, if you put money here, it will end well. And then the first time you warn them, it happens. Second time, it happens. Third time, they're making you deputy manager. Who knows what I'm talking about? This is that 1 year. Please listen to me. This is that 1 year where I want you to do. See, be the priest and the prophet in that class, in that school. Let it be the one that when there is problem, everybody's saying, wait until Amaka comes. She knows what to do. Even in your class, when they gather together and there are issues, they're saying, Well, let our pastor come, because our pastor will give us an answer and tell us what to do. Let there be something different in your life. Let there be an anointing upon you that everywhere you go, they are looking for you. This will only come, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, when you are a candidate for divine encounters and visitation. Number two, when you are the one who knows how to raise altars at the right time. And finally, when you are the one man who knows how to always activate the blessing of God upon your life. Why? Because the blessings of the Lord, it always makes rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Rise on your feet as we pray this morning. I'm sorry for taking your time. I'm really sorry. But I must tell you this truth. See, this is, we'll do exciting meetings after now. But you see, foundations are not exciting things. I've never seen anywhere where anybody is building and foundations are good. You know the reason why is because I hope you are aware that when foundations are laid, you know the sad thing about foundations, they may even be more, the most expensive part of the building. But finally, when the building is completed, nobody they see them. Anybody with me? Nobody knows the piling that went on, the rots that were put under the ground, all the concrete that were poured in the ground, nobody sees it. Foundations are the things that will power the rest of the building, but they are not things that people always clap for. Raise up your right hand, say in the name of Jesus. Put down the hand. Put down the hand. Before you raise the right hand, I want every head bowed, every eye closed. There are people here who all your Christian life, you have never had a visitation. Please, open your eyes. Sorry. You have never had one visitation. See, let me say this to you. Whether you are a pastor, you are a preacher, you are head of department and so on, I want to beg you, please listen to what I'm about to say. If you don't have encounters, if you don't have visitations one-on-one, this is not church matter. And sometimes it happens in church during a meeting like the Ignite conference or whatever. But listen to this. You can't make much progress. When I got born again, something happened to me early in my life. I got born again. I'm reading my Bible. It's not making sense to me. I'm reading my Bible. It's not opening up to me. And then one day I say, Lord, this night I'm not sleeping. Why will I read the same Bible? Somebody else will preach from it and I'll be hearing things that I didn't see. What are they seeing? What eyes do they have to see that me, I don't have to see? I said, Lord, you must open my eyes. Let me be seeing the Bible the way these men of God are seeing my Bible, or seeing the Bible also. That night, I was with God alone. I started praying from 8 p.m. by 5 a.m. My target was to sleep by 6 a.m. I was in Lagos looking for admission in UNILAG to go and read law in UNILAG. I was in my uncle's house, number 14, Johnson Street, Kirikiri. I was in the big queue with other guys. That was where, by the way, I got born again. It was in that house somebody invited me to deeper life, where I gave my life to Jesus at Bagada. Guess what? Are you still with me, somebody? Guess what? That night I began to pray from 8 p.m. by 5 a.m. I was ready to sleep by 6 a.m. in the morning. By 5 a.m., I saw a hand stretch a book to me. The book is the size of this pulpit, bigger than this pulpit, massive book. And they stretched the book to me. I look at the book, and then with my physical hand, I did like this to collect. And I didn't touch anything. I wasn't sleeping. I didn't touch anything. And then the Holy Spirit said, receive it by faith. And I said, Lord, I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith. In the name of Jesus. I jumped up from that prayer. I rounded up the prayers. I opened my Bible to read. Sir, I saw the Bible jumping out of the pages. I saw life coming out of the Bible. Every line was a revelation. Every line was a sermon. Every line was a message. It took one encounter to give me my teaching ministry. What am I trying to say to somebody? See, you can be a Christian for 10 years just doing church. Sunday, Wednesday, conference, and never have an encounter. Can you promise God this year it will not be the same? That this year I must have encounters with God. Something must change. Something must shift. Something must happen to me. Lord, this is no longer church. This is no longer crowd. This is between you and me. Something must happen to my destiny. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus, this year I submit myself to divine encounters, to raising of altars, to activating the blessing of God over my life. Say, in the name of Jesus, say, Father, I key this morning into the mysteries that sponsor life. I consecrate, I dedicate, I commit myself into a life of encounters in 2026. I release my heart
to seek God, to stay with God, to follow God until something breaks in my destiny. In the name of Jesus, say, oh God, I am that man that will be a blessed man in 2026. No more struggle, no more struggle, no more difficulty. But Lord, I connect into the advantage that is called the advantage of God. Everything that sponsors life, I will walk in it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here, you're not born again, I want to pray for you for just 1 minute. Can you put your hand in your chest and say after me, say, my Father, I am a sinner. But this morning, I want Jesus in my life. I open the doors of my heart and I confess him as my Lord and Savior. Don't let me be the same after this meeting. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. I bless you with the blessing of the Lord, and I declare as you step out of this place today, God will visit you. God will visit you. God will visit you. 2026 will be from one encounter to another encounter, one visitation to another visitation, one altar to another altar, one release of grace upon another over your life and over your family. Your home, listen, your home will be a place of constant encounters. Encounters, 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 encounters in the name of Jesus. I want to pray this final prayer. If you are a parent here, please listen to me. I'm going to pray this prayer. You're going to stretch your two hands and do something prophetic this morning. I had a preacher saying once, he said, the home he grew up, that the father was always raising altars for the children. He said when he went to school, he made up his mind to be a bad boy. He wanted to be a bad boy. He said when he walks to the bad boys and wants to join them, they'll say, please go. You don't belong to us. He said, I want to be like you people. They say, you cannot be like us. He wants to be bad. He wants to join the cult. The cult people rejected him. And he said, he kept wondering, why was it that he can't be like other people? What he did not know was that the parents have raised an altar for him. If you're a married man, if you're a parent here, raise up your two hands. If you're a parent here, raise up your two hands. Even if you're not a parent, maybe you will have children tomorrow. Raise up your two hands. I pray for you. The children that you already have and the ones that are coming out of your loins, I declare, may the altars you raise preserve their destinies in the name of Jesus. Amen. May that altar stop them from getting into drugs in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stop them from being destroyed by a woman or by a man in the name of Jesus. Amen. May that altar cause them to excel in life in the name of Jesus. Amen. By that altar, evil will reject them. Amen. Satan will refuse them. Amen. Bad company will reject them. Cults will refuse them. By that altar, their lives will be preserved. I bless your children, born and unborn, as I raise and consecrate them to the altar that you are raising on their behalf this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Shout aloud, amen. Amen. Say a better amen if you don't mind. Amen. Give God praise if you are blessed this morning.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Baebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.